Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision-free big book study. My name is Russ M., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's Friday, July 12th, 2024. Today we're reading the big book. We're in More About Alcoholism, page 31, the third paragraph, starting with, "We do not like to pronounce," and we're ending with, "a full knowledge of your condition." All right, and our readers today. So for the steps, we have Paul P. For the traditions, Tenzin P. Starting us off reading the text is Nancy R. Page 164 is Anne Marie M. Newcomer greeters, Vanita L. Second hour host is Jeannie B. And announcements is Kathy S. All right, the reference numbers for yesterday, Thursday, July 11th, 2024, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. 21,565. That's 21565. The 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,566. 21566. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Excuse me. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating, compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I've asked Paul P. to read the 12 steps for us today. Star one, Paul.
Paul P. here, compulsive overeater. Thank you for your service, Russ. Step one, we admit we were powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admit to God, to ourselves and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we entirely were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove all our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we have harmed and become willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continually to take personal inventory in which we were wrong, promptly admit it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscience, contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and the principles which, I'm sorry, and the practice them principles in all our affairs. Thank you for having me do service.
Thanks, Paul. Next up is Tenzin P. with the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P. checking in from New York. Here are our beautiful 12 traditions. Excuse me. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsive eating. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much. Wishing everyone a blessed day.
Thanks, Tenzin. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So today we're back in chapter 3, more about alcoholism. We're on page 31 and we're reading that third paragraph. We do not like to pronounce, ending with get a full knowledge of your condition. And Nancy R. is going to take care of the reading for us today.
Good morning, it's Nancy R., recovered compulsive overeater in Illinois. We do not like to pronounce any individual as alcoholic, but you can quickly diagnose yourself. Step over to the nearest bar room and try some controlled drinking. Try to drink and stop abruptly. Try it more than once. It will not take long for you to decide. If you are honest with yourself about it, it may be worth a bad case of jitters if you get a full knowledge of your condition. Wow, how many times have I tried that? I didn't try it to diagnose myself as a compulsive overeater. But I have definitely stepped over to the nearest bakery, restaurant, fast food place, grocery store, and tried some controlled eating. And try to eat any of my alcoholic foods compulsively and stop abruptly. And I've definitely tried it more than once. And it didn't take long for me to realize that I was powerless, but I didn't know that there was an answer. Wow, I'm just so grateful this morning that there is an answer. You know, just reading this and thinking back to all the times that I knew that I was powerless and out of control and that I couldn't manage this and having no idea why and feeling so hopeless. Even knowing, you know, after I started coming to OA and knowing that I was a real compulsive reader, when the disease would overtake me and the compulsive thoughts would just feel so strong that I would go back even though I knew what was going to happen. You know, I had absolutely no power. But today, because of my relationship with God, with my higher power, and how I keep coming back to be in relationship with that higher power and look for guidance in my life through working the 12 steps. I don't have to wake up today with a bad case of jitters. I don't have to wake up today from a hangover of from alcohol foods and having binged and hurt myself yesterday. Even though I had thoughts about eating some binge foods yesterday, I'm grateful for the relief that I have today from the work of this program and the relationship with my higher power that I didn't have to pick up. I do know. I have a full knowledge of my condition. I've had that for a long time, but today I have the surrender of my condition to the miracle of recovery through working the 12 steps and having my and giving my life and my will to my higher power. And that's all I have. Thanks.
All right, Nance. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. All right, we're going to open up the lines for sharing, and we ask that if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and allow others to get a chance to share. And hopefully we can get as many as possible in today for everyone. Hold on. All right. I think it was Chris G.
Susan, yes. S-H.
Okay,
Shannon.
Susan.
Katie G.
Lynn Martin.
Hold on. Shannon. I got as far as Shannon, and I think Katie G.
Lynn from Montreal.
Katie G, yep.
And Janice P.
P.S.
Janice.
Lee A. from Tennessee.
Thank you.
All right. Lee.
Lynn from Montreal.
H. And who was that from Montreal?
Lynn.
Oh, Lynn.
NWH.
Ken.
Christina.
Christina.
Elena C.
Elena.
Nicole S.
Julie B. from Ohio.
Nicole. Julie B. I think, man, I'm running out of page here.
Anne Marie M.
Anne Marie. I think this is a heck of a list. This might take us all the way through if we do it right. All right, Chris G, Susan S H, Shanna C, Katie G, Janice PM, Lee H, Lynn. I didn't get the first in the survey last name. We'll catch it when it's from Montreal, I know that. Ken W H, Christina J, Elena C, Nicole Ash, Julie B, and Anne-Marie M. Man, what a list. All right, Chris G, you're up.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay. I want to thank you for the meeting and everybody that's here. It's a great meeting. And my name's Chris G. I spell it with a K, and I live in Tennessee. And what I really wanted to say was sometimes self-diagnosis is hard. I think this is a very important paragraph because this is where we go, we refer. We refer back to this paragraph. This is where it says that we don't diagnose other people, we diagnose ourselves. But I was overweight, and I can say, well, I weighed so many pounds. I got up to 199 pounds. That's overweight. And now I'm underweight. I'm still the same. Overweight, underweight. I don't eat correctly. And I have to try not to be underweight. I have to try not to be overweight. I was not successful either way. So this is where I belong, and it's where I know I belong. It doesn't matter what you think. People tell me, oh, you don't need to lose any weight. Well, that's obvious, but it's still where I belong. Thank you for letting me share. Bye.
Thank you, Chris. Next up is Susan S.H., followed by Shanna C.
Thank you, Russ. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
This is Susan S.H. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Ohio. Very grateful for recovery and very grateful for a reminder. I missed my check-in today because I was in a deep discussion about what an adult child of mine should do next. It makes me realize I'm still. That's me. I'm one of these people, and I need the steps to guide me every day. So I apologize for missing check-in, but I'm okay. I trust that I am a beloved child of God every day, even my most human days, still loved. Grateful that it's not for others to diagnose me. I need to look at myself, and I need to be honest with myself about it. I do know of someone I love very much that has stopped drinking of his own, you know, his own power many years. But in the 12 steps in this program, in a relationship with a higher power, it just helps me to navigate the problems that would have just torn me up in my old state. So grateful for a reminder about diagnosing myself, grateful for a reminder that this is where I need to be, not in someone else's problems, but right here, right now. And I will pass with that.
All right, Susan, thank you. Next up is Shanna C., followed by Katie G.
Good morning, Russ. This is Shanna C., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Thanks so much for leading the meeting, and thanks for being a voice, on, for me at least, on Friday, and all of you guys. It's so great to be on here. Seriously, this paragraph is everything for me. The fact is I do get I get the opportunity to actually get honest with myself here. Because if I don't, I'm going to die. For me, being a compulsive overeater, probably a long, slow death, full of suffering. And suffering scares me more than death does. And I don't think anything has probably deteriorated my mind, soul, and spirit more than the disease of compulsive overeating. It is absolute hell. For me, anyway, the constant thought of weight, the constant thought of what am I going to eat next? Oh, my God, what are they going to think if I eat this? And what, you know, oh, my God, I've got a little bit of water weight. I've got to restrict now. Oh, my God, it's just a constant. And the cool thing about it now is being miraculously restored to sanity is I can recognize that stuff as it creeps up as a result of gaining connection to that power greater than myself through these steps after having been beaten into that state of reasonableness, you know, and just getting sick and tired of being sick and tired and just being willing to, you know what, you know, who knows how long I'm going to have to live on this earth. I'm either going to live this way or I'm going to be changed, and I certainly can't change myself. And so thankful for you guys being here as that soft place to land so I could learn those hard truths within grace. And so the I just have to say that sometimes I forget how well this program works. You know, I started a new job, and I'm working in a place where food, the best food in the entire world, literally, it's not my opinion. I'm talking James Beard Award-winning food, is being presented, and I'm neutral. I mean, are you serious right now? And not only that, going through some health things and stuff, and I'm just, you know, one day at a time asking God to enable me to, you know, stay abstinent and sober and to follow the food plan and to be of maximum service to others and to do the next right thing. And so far, so good, I'm still abstinent. And not only abstinent, meaning not eating, but seeing the evidence of a power greater than myself at work in my life. Today, I'm actually grateful to be a compulsive overeater and have a solution that really works, because sometimes life is really rough, even when it's good, because the problem lies within my own mind. And anyway, so grateful that when we straighten out spiritually, we straighten out mentally and physically, and then we end up with a story to tell. And for me, God gets all the credit, and I'm grateful to be here. Thanks again, Russ. Thanks, everybody, and I hope you have a fabulous weekend.
Thanks, Shanna. Next up is Katie G, followed by Janice P.M.
Hey, Russ, it's Katie G. Thanks for taking the meeting. Good morning, everyone. Yeah. Oh, did I interrupt you?
No, you're good.
Okay. Sorry. And, for me, this paragraph is imperative. This is what separates me from a diet. You know, I dieted my whole life. And so coming into the rooms of OA, I didn't understand that it wasn't No Sugar, No Flour Anonymous. It's actually Overeaters Anonymous. So if I'm actually honest with myself, Weight Watchers telling me that I can have extra bites of carrots and broccoli, that doesn't work. I get a bad case of the jitters when I'm overeating, or I get vague. You know, I get that gray sense. And what I love about this paragraph is, like, we have ceased fighting. Like, I fought people for my right. I would justify, rationalize, and defend my right to chew gum, to drink diet soda, to exercise bulimically, to get on the scale, to starve. I would justify that until someone said to me, "Do you know that normal people don't have to justify, rationalize, and defend the truth?" And someone said to me once, "If you don't have a problem with diet soda, with gum, with exercise, just stop it for 30 days. And man, that kicked my butt. Because if you told my husband, who's a normal eater, to stop eating apples because apples were poisonous to him and they had to figure it out, he'd put down apples or hot fudge sundaes. He might be a little irritable, but he wouldn't be screaming like I do, like a toddler, about why I, you know, this life is short and I get to do this. And today, thanks be to God, like, I know that the most important thing in my life is not food. I remember when I first came into the rooms of OA and thinking people were pathetic. I was like, why would you go through life without cake, without ice cream, without a glass of wine? How stupid are you? And thank God I don't have that judgment anymore. And thank God I don't feel that way. I mean, the things I've done to food because I'm a professional dieter, you know, lookalikes, taking quote unquote abstinent food and making it look like a hot fudge sundae or a bowl of pasta, like I'm still getting that sense of ease and comfort. And that's why what a previous speaker said is so important, that I be honest, because I've got to put it all down. And I don't care what anyone else does, but I'm sad if I don't put it all down, because guess what it does? That food is still God. And God's not going to barge in and say, "You got to put it down," right? Like, it just disconnects me from God. And thanks be to God for today and for today only, I have these down and I can get to God. And with this, thanks be to God for the truth tellers in my life that remind me what real abstinence is, so I can stay connected to God. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Katie. Next up is Janice P.M., followed by Lee H.
And thank you so much,
Russ M. This is Janice P. M. And I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. What a paragraph. And I know I read it, and I would say, yeah. But did I keep trying to, as a sponsor, as a mother, trying to convince and say to my son or any sponsee, you are an alcoholic, you are a compulsive overeater. I cannot do that. And I used to try to, we identify with them and they say, well, I don't do that. And I have the same excuses galore. So it says, it's telling me, we do not like to pronounce any individual, but try pronouncing yourself. Well, I couldn't even do that. Well, it wasn't until the disease got me to pronounce myself, and it took a lot of time because I was always testing the physical allergy that I have. Even just one bite. Oh, sometimes I could take one bite, sometimes I couldn't. But then, like it was said, with all these methods that we try, that we just read yesterday, this disease, if I have it, and I'm not convinced that it is progressive, and like it says, progressive, permanent, it's sneaky, it's very patient. That's what I learned. Very patient. Someday, somehow, it's going to say, I got you. So a man, and there's a saying, and I love it, a man or woman convinced against their will is of the same opinion still, which means there's two things I can't give my son, you, or anybody. I can't give them the willingness. That's the first criteria. I cannot give them that willingness. I cannot convince them. And I cannot give them a power higher than themselves, whom I call God. Because that's the only two that's going to get me to start. But the disease will do it. And so, like I was always testing that physical allergy, whatever substance, I was always testing it. But they suggest here, yeah, go ahead and try to test yourself by doing what's in this book on page 44, the very first paragraph. We can answer, yes, that's me. Yes, that's me. It's a good self-diagnosis. I can be the doctor of myself. When the disease puts out its ugly head. So, and with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Janice. Next up is Lee H., followed by Lynn from Montreal. All right.
Well, hey, good morning, Russ. This is Lee H. in Tennessee. Thank you for your service and all the shares so far. When I read this paragraph this morning, I had to laugh because this paragraph is what has kept me coming back. I've had several sponsors in the program, and the part about where it says, it will not take long. Well, go to the go to the nearest bar room and try some controlled drinking. Try to drink and stop abruptly. Try it more than once. It will not take long for you to decide if you are honest with yourself about it. It may be worth a bad case of the jitters if you get a full knowledge of your condition. I don't think I had a full knowledge of my condition for a long time in this program. I was trying to kid myself. I was in self-deception and still experimenting, as it talks about on the previous page that we discussed earlier. And I was on the phone with a fella, and I was struggling in the food, and she just said, well, maybe you're not done yet. You know, go out and eat some more. Maybe that's what it'll take. And we kind of laughed about it, and there was something that helped the shame to just drop off of me so that I wasn't afraid to be honest that I was still struggling in the food. And there's something that my higher power used in that to turn things around spiritually. I didn't feel guilty or any shame. It was like, yeah, I'm a human being and I make mistakes and here I go again. And yeah, I think I am one of these people that just cannot control my eating. And so it was a breakthrough for me. And now 7 years later, I can't say that I'm not tempted at times. But there is a power with a P, capital P, that, you know, has helped build a good defense system so that, you know, when I am there, I say things like, you know, not my food, not my drink. I mean, I can't explain it, but it is a power greater than myself that is helping me to get to the other side and to just experience, you know, a neutrality and a peace that I have not had within myself most, you know, of my life. I can't remember when I've had this much peace. So I love it, and thanks, everybody, and I'll pass.
Thanks, Lee. So next up is Lynn, but before Lynn jumps on, let me let you know where we're at. We're in More About Alcoholism, page 31, third paragraph, starting with, we do not like to pronounce, ending with a full knowledge of your condition. And thanks, everybody, for saying your first initial of your last name so people could look you up. So that's awesome. You guys are great. Lynn, you are up.
Hi, everybody. My name is Lynn Renee H. from Montreal. And I've been in relapse since a year and a half, and I've been struggling like hell, and it's been a hard path, especially because of everything I know. I'm a big book stumper. I've done so many things in the program, and I know. But this program is nothing about what we know. It's how we can work it. And I'm so sorry. It's been a year I didn't call in, and I don't know why I'm calling in this morning, but this is what the program is all about. It's just do the contrary action. And I'm at my highest weight that I've ever been. And what I don't know about this disease is how much it's going to get me and where it's going to get me and how the hell am I going to get out when it gets me. And yes, it's the food for sure, but what's going to kill me is isolation. And even if I know I have to get out of isolation, when it hits 6 o'clock at night, I go back into my little space where I think that I'm safe all alone, and it's not true, because it's a dark place to be alone. And it's such a strange disease. It is such a strange disease. It's a mental disease. And that's how I feel about it. Yes, it's about, like, the reaction I have, like, with sugar and all that. But it's really, for me, a mental disease, and it twists my mind till I believe it. And I don't know. I'm a little bit everywhere this morning, so I'm sorry if it doesn't make sense. But I'm so grateful for everybody that does service. So this meeting is on this morning because I really needed to hear everybody this morning. So have a great day and a great meeting. Thank you so much.
All right, Lynn Renee, thank you. Next up is Ken W.H., followed by Christina J.
Hey, Russ. Good morning. Ken W.H. here, recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. The hardest part in this thing for me, there are two hard parts in this thing for me. One is even suggesting to someone who is really into this thing to go do some more. I have a hard time with, but I understand the principle. Maybe it's just a way to really press a person into looking at themselves. But for me, it's on when we turn flip the page there, one of the sentences there talks about self-diagnosis, which I think, again, is an oxymoron. I wouldn't trust any diagnosis that comes from myself, no matter what, because of the paragraph that came before. All of those things would just kick right in to save me from my own self-diagnosis. But there's a catch-22 in all of this. It's like a rock and a hard place. It says, self-diagnose and be honest with yourself. Catch-22. Wait a minute. I can't do those two things. They're not possible together for me. I cannot self-diagnose and be honest at the same time. My self-diagnosis is always had a little bit of yeah, but in it. You know, yeah, but I'm not like them. Yeah, but. So self-diagnosis is a dangerous thing, and I think Bill's trying to kind of tell me that in that paragraph. It's like, oh, there's the rub. You got to be honest. Who would have thought it? Yeah. For self-diagnosis, no. I need help for that. And that's why I have people around me that can tell me when I'm playing the game. So I'm just really grateful to be here. And thank you, Brother Russ. Take care. Have a great day. Pass.
Thanks, Ken. Appreciate you, buddy. All right. Next up is Christina J., followed by Elena C.
Morning, Russ. Morning, everyone. Christina J. from the state of North Carolina, previously from Washington, where when the sun came out, it was gorgeous. And one gorgeous day, I took a trip into town. It was gorgeous. But as I drove into town, the irritability, restlessness, and discontent took over. I found myself in the parking lot of the grocery store with a pint of something creamy and delicious. And I sat there, and I was in program. I was in program. I didn't make a call. I wasn't working 10 steps. I was doing everything else, but not 10 or making the calls when I would get irritable, restless, and discontent. And I sat there and I ate this beautiful thing that I thought was beautiful, and it is, but not for me. And I thought, well, why can't I do this once a week? This is perfectly fine. You know, these were the thoughts, my disease, my irritable, restless, and discontent, because I've used food for every possible I've used every type of food for every possible means of comfort in my life. And so I thought, I'm feeling fantastic. You know, that sugar rush to the brain, the body, the cells. And I drove home after that, and slowly the fog came in, slowly the depression, and I fought off the fear of what I'd done to myself. Now, I never did any of these things consciously, like saying, oh, I'm going to prove to myself. This was driven by my irritable, restless, and discontent states. And, you know, if I don't work those tents, I did this all my life. I ate for comfort. In program, I learn I have methods and ways to move away from those painful places in my heart, which now, since I've been clean for a number of months, are beginning to rise up, and God is helping me cleanse them. But for years, these things have driven me. And they always took me back to the food. You can say, oh, the allergy is going to take you back if you're clean. But not so. Not so with me. If I'm not working program and keeping myself clean inside, I'm going to go back to the food when I'm irritable, restless, and discontent and trigger the allergy again and I'm off and running. That's just the fact for me. The denial over the years that I could use food for comfort has been, as they say in the book, astounding. But what drove every unconscious experiment was my discomfort, my sadness, my unhappiness, my loneliness that I carried for years, this fear that drove every bite. Today I don't have to do that. Today I have a strong program Today I have extreme fear of that bad case of the jitters. I do not want to experiment anymore. And God's grace is that he reminds me, when I think about the food occasionally, you can't go back, honey. You know what's going to happen. Each one of those experiments, like the creamy, delicious thing, didn't take long for me to figure out that I couldn't do it, and I became excruciatingly sad. I can't do this. You know, oh, darn it, I have to do a 10-step. I mean, this bowl of this stuff tastes much better than stopping and doing a 10-step. But I had to learn that I couldn't take the chance with the bowl or the bite. So thank you for letting me share. And I'm so grateful for all of you in program. It's the only thing we've got, at least for me. I pass.
Thanks, Christina. Next up is Elena C., followed by Nicole X. S. Excuse me.
Good morning. Good morning, Russ. Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for your shares. It's such a treat to wake up to this meeting and let alone be willing to share. So two thoughts I had as I was, reading this paragraph. One is that I'm so glad that nobody told me that I was a compulsive overeater, you know, that nobody told me that, you know, you are eating so much sugar, you're eating so much cake, you're eating blah, blah, blah. I would not have listened to that. No way, you know. It's part of my personality, you know, to be a little rebellious ever since I was little and kind of just don't hear it, what others, you know, are saying about me or painting something out for me. It's so much better now that I have the recovery. But back to that, you know, I had the freedom to find out for myself that I have an addiction. And I did that because I reached a bottom. So I had the freedom to reach a bottom, to experience the gift of desperation, you know, to suffer that pain and wake up and say that I am like the rest of you. Another thing that I'm glad is that nobody told me who God of my understanding needs to be. Again, you know, I grew up in a fundamentalist religion, and it never hit home. That never hit home for me. It worked for other people, just not for me. So, you know, in the program, nobody told me who the God of my understanding is. Do believe in this, don't believe in this. But then again, I was left alone to find it on my own. And I find God of my understanding on my own, again, when I feel the gift of desperation, when I feel pain. And that is so beautiful. You know, the pain that I am feeling, that we are feeling, is necessary to get us closer to God. I have never understood that. I was like, I don't want to feel pain. You know, maybe I should just come to two or three meetings and, you know, you guys give me the formula how to lose weight so I don't have to suffer pain ever again. It doesn't work that way, you know. I need the pain to grow, to get closer to God of my understanding. Pain is a gift today for me, and I would have never, ever said that if I didn't come here. You know, it's clear cut. It's clear cut. Every single time when my emotions were very, very hard to feel, I grew closer in my relationship with my higher power. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Elena. Next up is Nicole S., followed by Julie B.
Hi, this is Nicole S., recovered from Colorado. Thank you, Russ, for your service. And, boy, I just think of so many times how many times I tried some controlled eating, tried to, you know, start eating, you know, my trigger foods, my alcoholic foods, and then stop abruptly. And many times I was able to stop abruptly, and it usually was because there was people around and I was too embarrassed to eat how I really wanted to, or there wasn't anything left. And that bad case of the jitters is really, exactly what I got when I was able, what I saw, I was like, oh, I mustered so much self-control and, you know, I'm doing great. But that, you know, that bad case of the jitters is just awful, you know, and jitters, definition, a sense of panic or extreme nervousness. And when all I thought about was if I, you know, was able to stop abruptly and what I thought was my self-control, that jitters, that extreme nervousness, all I thought about was how, you know, there was food, I was not eating, and, you know, I triggered that physical allergy, and it was just awful. It was really no better than, you know, when I kept on eating. And that, I'm just so grateful to not be in that place anymore. And, you know, it did give me a full knowledge of my condition, though, that I have a physical allergy and a mental obsession. And when I ingest those foods, after I ingest them, it just, I have that physical craving, and then my mental obsession ensures that I'm going to keep eating, and I'm in that vicious cycle, caught and stuck, and I can't get out of it. And only God can help me in this condition. And I'm just so grateful when I can give, when I can just be the actor. I just play my part that God has laid out for me each day. And I don't do this perfectly, far from it, but when I rely on God instead of myself, and let Him help me, and use this fellowship, work the steps, use the fellowship, boy, what a beautiful life, and just not caught in that extreme, you know, sense of panic and nervousness. There's a better way. I'm very grateful. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Nicole. Next up is Julie B., followed by Anne-Marie M.
Thank you, Russ. I'm Julie B. I am a compulsive overeater recovering in Ohio, and just want to say thank you and grateful to be on this meeting. Today, I am down 50 pounds from my top weight. I'm also 5'10", so I'm quite a tall person, and I'm at a weight today that I always put down as my goal, you know, when all of those like diet programs are, you know, just put it down on paper, like whatever you want to weigh. And so I would put like where I'm at now. And I say that only getting to this weight in OA, and it's just such a beautiful gift to have. I'm actually really glad that no one else had to diagnose me, and that it was a self-diagnosis, because I don't think that others would. I don't think that my family would. I don't think that my friends would have diagnosed me as a compulsive overeater. I think in comparison, I was pretty normal in their minds, even probably underweight to them, even though I was 50 pounds overweight, or I'm sorry, from where I am now. I feel that In my strive to be honest in my life, you know, just recognizing the dishonesty and sort of that fog that others have over their eyes, especially just in my family, and just really not able to be honest and tell the truth. Honesty is my word of the year. A fellow told me that she has a word of the year. And so honesty has been mine this year. And it's been a really tough one sometimes, but you know what that looks like for me is when something changes on my food plan, or hey, if I'm feeling uncomfortable about something in my relationships, I no longer just stuff that down with food. So that diagnosis for me of this disease, you know, the symptoms of it are self-pity, self-righteousness, judgment, resentment. You know, it comes in so many different forms of those bedevilments, procrastination, depression, you know, but the prescription before OA was running to restaurants. It was overeating and having a dessert after every meal. And it was also stuffing down those hard feelings. And one thing that I love that I am finding out more is just the power of 10 steps and the power of doing a 10 step. Like when I am disturbed, to do a 10 step and then talk to the person, like I just, whoever is disturbing me. Like, so if you get anything from my share, please get that. I'm doing a 10 step before expressing yourself and telling the person who has made you mad, doing that 10 step. So that is the prescription that works along with the steps and sponsorship and attending meetings and outreach. Thank you. I pass.
Thanks, Julie. Next up is Anne Marie. I'm going to see, we might be able to take one more. It's cutting it close, but let's see what's happening here.
Okay, this is Anne Marie M. in South Carolina, gratefully recovered through God's grace and by working the steps in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I am so sad when I hear people struggling. I pray, I have a couple of friends that have had really a difficult time getting abstinent, and it saddens me so much. And I just want it to be known that I pray every day for those who still suffer in this disease. I suffered for so long, and you know what jumped out at me today was that word honest with yourself, honest with myself. I wasn't able to be honest with myself. You know, I had the previous paragraph, you know, all those different ways of trying to stay abstinent didn't work for me, but I just kept on trying over and over again. And I, you know, kept on thinking that maybe this time is going to be different. Another few more days or so, we're going to be talking about the mental twist. And I like to think of it as amnesia. I don't remember what it was like. And so I kept on going out and trying some more eating, some more compulsively. I want to emphasize the difference between that. Yeah, I eat. I need to eat every day. I eat three meals a day and a snack. But I used to compulsively overeat. And I kept on trying that over and over again, thinking that if I just have one or two bites, it's not going to hurt. And it's part of my disease. Yet, I needed to be honest with myself. So, yes, I have this disease, and I have learned that I did something I can do about it. And I think that it was the first person that shared. And she, it wasn't only knowledge that, you know, I needed. I mean, I had the knowledge, but I had to surrender and give in and give up to knowing that I can't control this. So I'll pass with that, and thank you.
All right, Anne-Marie. So we have a minute and
Jackie B.
Jackie B.
A from Delaware.
All right, Jackie B., you're up. Got a minute and a half.
Okay. Hi, I'm Jackie B. from the Bronx. Thank you so much, everybody, for your share. I left it up to God if I could get in. You know what? The greatest thing about this program is if you work it, and somebody in the fellowship had asked me, what changes? How do you keep going? And you know how I keep going? Abstinence is just the first step. But then after you work the steps, you have to live life. And because I did that, it made me more aware of other addictions that I had, which I have been able to work in other fellowships. But you know what? Yesterday was the most anxiety-ridden financial situation with my husband talking about it. And you know what? I didn't pick up food. I didn't spend. And I didn't, kill him. So you know what? That's what the program gives you, the awareness to go through and face it. And like everybody else said, 10 steps, doing a daily inventory, sending my food every day to my sponsor. That's what gives me a clean house, you know, and that's what I want to share with other people. I've been in this program over 30 years, maybe 34. And I've had relapses, and I've had everything. I'm going on 8 years of abstinence. But you know what? I have abstinence this second. I don't have abstinence 8 years. You know, let's not put it, you know, it may be physically absent. Thank you. And with that, I'll pass. But just keep working the program. That's all you got to do. Thanks.
All right, Jackie, thank you for sharing. You're going to be our last share. And thank you to everyone that shared, did service, and participated in this meeting. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. And today's share ride day, so it's Friday the 12th of July, 2024. It's 21,267. So that's the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 21,267, 21267. All right, we'll now close with reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I ask the Emory M to please read. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Great. Thank you. Our book is Emory M. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely to what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you should surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.